नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। गुड मॉर्निंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 3 एंटाइटल्ड द बर्थ ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्ण टेक्स्ट 48 एंड 49। तया प्रत्यय सर्ववृत्तिषु द्वाहस्तेषु पौरेषु अपि शायितेष्वथ द्वाराश्च सर्वाः पिहिता दुरत्यया बृहत् कपाटाय सकील श्रृंखले तया। वर्स 49। तः कृष्णवाहे वसुदेव आगते स्वयं व्यवर्यन्त यथा तमो रवेः ववर्ष पर्जन्य उपांशु गर्जितः शेषोऽनुगाद्वारि निवारयन् फनैः। Translation to 48 and 49 and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation: by the influence of Yoga Maya, all the doorkeepers fell fast asleep. Their senses unable to work, and the other inhabitants of the house also fell deeply asleep. When the sun rises, the darkness automatically disappears. Similarly, when Vasudev appeared, the closed doors, which were strongly pinned with iron and locked with iron chains, opened automatically. Since the clouds in the sky were mildly thundering and showering, Anantanag, an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, followed Vasudev, beginning from the door, with hoods expanded to protect Vasudev and the transcendental child. Purport: Sheshanag is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose business is to serve the Lord with all necessary paraphernalia. When Vasudev was carrying the child, Sheshanag came to serve the Lord and protect him from the mild showers of rain. Hare Krishna. So, today is probably an appointment with disappointment, you know, because previously His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was to be here and give the talk. He had to go to Delhi for the meetings. So, I have to sit here and give this talk. So, please pardon me. Many devotees from Pune and Nasik and others have come to hear him. So, sorry for being here, but there's no choice. He's in Delhi. So, I have to be here to speak on this verse. So we are here at a juncture in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Lord Krishna has appeared in the prison cell of Kamsa to Vasudev and Devaki. The other day, His Holiness Bhaktirasamrita Swami Maharaj was giving a class on one of these verses, and he was explaining how, although the Lord has come in an apparently ordinary human form, He still is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was explaining that no one is born with four hands. In fact, if anyone is born with an extra finger, it's considered abnormal. You know, if you get an extra finger on your foot or on your hand, one is considered absolutely abnormal. And by that standard, you can imagine Krishna has 10 extra fingers. He's absolutely abnormal from the mundane point of view. Everyone comes to the world bald headed. No one's born with hair. If there is hair, there is one or two, some little, you know, around. When children are born, there is very little hair, and Krishna comes with fully grown curly blackish hair. And no one comes to this world fully dressed. That is too much. Imagine, you know, no child has chosen inside the womb, I want designer diaper. No child can choose like that. And Krishna, in his four-handed form as Narayan, has chosen to wear specific color ka dhoti. People are very, very finicky about the colors they wear. Of course, Prabhuji's don't have much choice. You know, for Brahmacharis, there's only one color. Saffron, and the other Grihastha's white every day, dhoti kurta. Ladies may have a lot of choice in terms of saris and all that, but men don't have any choice. Krishna, very finicky, very choosy person, doesn't like any other color, yellow. In this world, they used to say, yellow, yellow, dirty fellow. Because you know why? I don't want to say, when a child passes, it's all a big mess. And therefore, they used to say, yellow, yellow, dirty fellow. And Krishna chooses to come with a first-class dazzling yellow pitambar dhoti, fully dressed. And what's to top it all up? He comes smiling. No child. History of creation. No child has come smiling. If the child doesn't cry, doctor knows there is some trouble. And they hit the child. Cry. Life begins like that. You know. And I remember the very famous Hindi cinema Bollywood number which childhood used to hear come on our ears all the time about rote hue aate hai sab. No one comes to this world smiling. And His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj was explaining how he is aprakrita. Prakrita means material and aprakrita means non-material. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself appearing in His four-handed form with a dazzling dhoti, with a beautiful smile adorning His face in front of Vasudeva and Devaki in the prison cell of Kamsa. And then they are saying, my dear Lord, Kamsa will harm you. Please. Please do not maintain this form. Change your form. And therefore Bhagavat explains two verses before. He becomes a Prakrita Shishu. Shishu is a baby. And Prakrit like a material baby. So he becomes a little baby from his four-handed form. On the request of his mother and father Devaki and Vasudevi, becomes a little child. And although the Bhagavad says, like a baby, Prakrit Shishu, there's nothing Prakrit about him. And His Holiness was explaining the other day, Maharaj was explaining, by saying that Krishna, whenever He comes in any form, in any avatar, you know, He chooses to behave exactly like that particular species. People are very skeptical. How can Krishna come as a fish? How can He come as a horse? Hayagriva, how can He come as a swan, Hamsa? He can come as anything. He came as a cat, Marjari Narsimha, in the form of a cat. When an asura became Mushika Daitya, as a mouse. So, why can't the Lord take all of these forms? A lot of people in the Western world are very skeptical. How can the Lord assume all these different forms? But look at what people watch in the Western world. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Tom and Jerry, Superman, Batman. What are all of these things? A Batman who has bat-like wings, Mickey Mouse who's a mouse, Donald Duck who's a duck. So they're talking of animals. They're fascinated by animals, mice and duck and Tom and Jerry, and absolutely fascinated. Everyone in their childhood has been logging on, just eyes fully fixed. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. On the television screens, watching these caricatures moving on here and there. While that is imaginary entertainment, here is real entertainment. Where Krishna can come in any form that He chooses to and behaves exactly like that. When He comes as Matsya, He behaves like a fish swimming in the water. When He comes as Hamsa, He behaves like a swan flying. When He comes as Narsimha, He behaves like a lion roaring. And when He comes like a human, then He behaves exactly like a human being. And therefore when He comes as a child, Prakrita Shishu, don't expect His godhood there. Why is Krishna playing so much mischief? He has come as a human being. Children are mischievous. You don't find baby fish mischievous. But you find human children mischievous. So He's playing mischief. No problem. And therefore His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj the other day was explaining, Krishna, although the aprakrita Supreme Personality of Godhead, on the request of Vasudeva and Devaki, now take the form of aprakrit Sheshuhu, like an ordinary human child in the prison cell of Kamsa and Devaki. And what is about to begin here in this book, in the 10th canto, is the greatest of all things that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. In his class, yesterday morning, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining, Krishna begins his pastimes with Vipralamba. He begins his pastimes with the mood of separation. Because Devaki and Vasudev have given birth to Krishna, the first time they're just there and separation starts. Imagine Krishna Leela begins with separation. So much hard work to get that child, so much they had to go through, so many obstacles, so many difficulties, and as soon as he comes, taken away. Amazing, isn't it? If you stand in a line for prasad for 2 hours in the hot sun during the yatra, and so much hard work and patience, and the stomach is hungry, and then suddenly as the plate of prasadam comes in front, and if it's taken away, you can imagine the separation from prasadam is too much to bear. Vipralambhava from prasadam. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj tells the story of how when he first came to cross Maidan, you know, and he was in the line for prasadam, and as he came at the line and he was given a drone of halwa, the drone of halwa was taken away. It was just snatched out of his head. Hands, and he was very hungry, and he said, hey, my God, how can I'm just wanting prasad, it's such a nice hot halwa. And then one devotee, Gurudas Pru and others, took him behind and they fed him a feast that was sambhoga, you know, union. And they said, this halwa is made in petrol oil. You take this nice feast cooked in ghee. Petrol oil means cheap oil. You know, so now you take this feast. And therefore, we find here Vasudev and Devaki, right at the very outset, very beginning, separation begins. They give birth to Krishna. Krishna is taken away from them. For 12 years, Krishna is away from them in Vrindavan. And Yashoda and Nanda are thinking, oh, Sambhoga, amazing. Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so amazing. He's giving us such amazing time. Such incredible loving dealings with Krishna. And after 12 years, he is taken away. Somebody's loss is somebody's gain. Vasudev and Devaki's loss was Nanda and Yashoda's gain in Vrindavan. And Nanda and Yashoda's loss in Vrindavan was Devaki and Vasudev's gain later in Mathura and Dwarka. And therefore, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj yesterday in his talk was explaining how right at the very outset of Krishna Leela, Krishna is showing service in separation. It is not a question of holding back Krishna. It is a fact of what is good for Krishna. Vasudev and Devaki do not want to hold Krishna back. They want to see what is good in Krishna's interest. If Krishna stays in the prison cell of Kamsa, probably Kamsa will come and kill him. Krishna should leave. There's no kind of sentimentalism and emotionalism in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a very practical process. What works the best should be done. His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu says, what I loved about Srila Prabhupada the most was that he was a practical man. He said, when I was a young boy, I was in Tokyo. And he said, Bhurijan Prabhu was saying, I was walking behind Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada was to cross the road. Now here in India, to cross the road, it just doesn't matter. 10 cars could be passing by and people make their way out of one car. In fact, once we were driving, one lady came in the middle and said, Ruko. That's too much. You come in the middle of the road and she says, wait, honey, this is road. You can't say like that, stop. And we had to stop till she walked by. Now, you can't dream about that in the Western world. They're very finicky about the rules and laws. They all work solid laws. In fact, in Germany, if you travel to Germany, if you go to Munich, many places in Germany, but if you go to Munich, if you're walking, you cannot even cross the road straight, if that's not allowed. You have to walk straight, then you have to take another turn, and then come to this side. Are khali hai rasta. No, you can't do that. Srila Prabhupada was walking, Bhurijan Prabhu behind him, and Japan, strict laws. If the signal's red, you have to stop there. You can't go, you can be fined by the police for that. The police was not there. And Bhurijan Prabhu says, Prabhupada saw left, Prabhupada saw right, no vehicle, go. He just crossed the street. And Bhurijan Prabhu said, I saw
Srila Prabhupada was a very practical man. And therefore, Krishna consciousness is practicality. It's not sentimentalism. My Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, you know, why is he traveling when the devotee is in New York, 26th Second Avenue? Prabhupada was there. They thought Prabhupada was theirs. That's all. There was no one else in the world to whom Prabhupada belonged. Because what was there? 10 devotees in the movement. The senior most devotee was 4 months old. You know. And that was 26th Second Avenue with 5-10 devotees. And they thought, this is it. Prabhupada and us. Bus. And it was time. Mukund Maharaj, Janaki Mataji, Yamuna Mataji, Gurudas Prabhu, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Malati Mataji, all of them were in San Francisco. And in sense of San Francisco, suddenly at the Haight-Ashbury area, suddenly there was an uprising. And Prabhupada decided to go to San Francisco. First time. And all the devotees in New York, shocked. Swamiji is leaving us? And they didn't even have, first they had the title only Swamiji. And when Govinda Dasi, when Govinda Mataji, she got initiated. One day, Gaur Sundar Prabhu came and asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, everyone's calling you Swamiji. Maybe I should call my wife Govindaji. No, he thought like that. They're calling you Swamiji, so I should call her Govindaji. Prabhupada said, Govindaji is in Vrindavan. The Govinda is there, not here. And he said, G is a third class title. So then they asked, so what is first class, Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, well, if you like, continue calling me Swamiji, but better is Gurudev or Guru Maharaj, one should call the Guru. So no, that's okay, Prabhupada. What is first class? Prabhupada said, first class is Srila Prabhupada. And that day they started calling Srila Prabhupada. All these devotees in New York thinking Swamiji is leaving. Swamiji is leaving for the first time. Whether will he come back again? And as Prabhupada was at the airport, all these initial devotees there, one of the lady devotees, she snatched Srila Prabhupada's bead bag and stole it. And kept it with her. Why? Bead bag nahi to jayenge kaise? If you don't have bead bag, how will you go? How will you chant your rounds? How will Prabhupada chant his rounds? As if Prabhupada needed a bead bag and beads. He was continuously chanting. But that was their affection for Srila Prabhupada. They wanted to hold Srila Prabhupada back. Prabhupada cannot go. Imminent separation from Srila Prabhupada. How can Srila Prabhupada go? Holding Srila Prabhupada back by taking the beads bag away. And then she was holding, tears in their eyes. For the first time Prabhupada is leaving. Who knows whether he'll come back. And then Prabhupada, again, she, of course, disciples, so she brought the bead bag and gave it back to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, if you chant Hare Krishna here, and I chant Hare Krishna there, we will be very tightly packed and connected, although we are away from each other. And therefore, Krishna consciousness is not about emotional sentiments. It is about practical service. It is about the mission of the spiritual master. It is about the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vasudev and Devaki are not sentimentalists. They are playing the role of Krishna's parents. And you can imagine the child is born after such a hassle for so long. And now the child has to leave? Too much. They hardly had probably more than an hour or two with him. And now he has to leave. It does not matter whether he has to stay or whether he has to leave. What matters is his interest. What is in his interest? Leaving Mathura is in his interest because Kamsa cannot kill him then. So then he should go. If staying in Mathura is in his interest, no problem, stay. And therefore, Krishna consciousness bring a practical philosophy, brings about this incredible emotion of Vipralamba. Or separation, it does not matter whether we are with the devotees whom we love so much or we are away from the devotees whom we love so much. Whether we are with our spiritual master or whether we are away from the spiritual master. Whether we are with the temple that we were born in as devotees or whether we are gone to some other temple to serve there. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is service. What matters is seva. But here, Krishna is giving Rasgulla,
And straight after Rasgulla, Karela juice. You can imagine? But separation makes love grow fonder. When there is separation, love grows even deeper and fonder in the heart of a devotee. When devotees miss Srila Prabhupada, in separation from Srila Prabhupada, they felt the closest union to Srila Prabhupada in serving his mission, in serving his instructions. Because when there is union, many times there is a chance to take the spiritual master, the acharya, for granted. When Rasgulla is there, it's nice. But after Karela, when Rasgulla comes, that seems the best. Imagine if you have Karela juice and then someone brings a Rasgulla. Sir, Prabhu, please. I'm desperate. If only Rasgulla can, well, take it. Oh, no problem. I eat daily. It's okay. But after Karela juice, it tastes so nice when the taste on the tongue is gone. One of our brahmacharis, very pranky brahmachari. At least in his childhood, he was super pranky. And they had a rabbit at home, you know. And all over the house, there would be rabbit stool. So one day, he collected some of the rabbit stool and packed it in a bottle. And after they went to school, one of the friends had a meal. They took their prasad. And he had packed it in the bottle of Hajmola. You know? Hajmola bottle is these pills, you know. They would have Hawaban Haradi. Looks exactly like rabbit stool then, those days. And he had packed it inside there. And after the meal, he said, Hajmola khayega. And he said, okay. And he gave this bottle to this person. Bola, tera pura tere liye. The whole thing is for you. And this friend of his took this and put it in his mouth. Goodness, you can imagine. Eating rabbit stool. And the whole taste was gone. And he played the prank, but he had also carried some sweets with him. So he said, sorry, thoda masti karna tha ye le beta, you know, take this sweet. And immediately, that nasty taste was gone. That is Krishna Leela. That is Krishna Leela. Vipralamba, Sambhoga, Vipralamba, Sambhoga, Vipralamba, Sambhoga, separation, union, union. That child of their life that they had dreamt of for so long has appeared in Mathura. Rasgulla. And within about 2 hours, Karela juice. And then again after 12 years, Rasgulla. My God, that is Krishna's amazing pastimes. And what about Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and the Brajavasis? For Nanda and Yashoda, Devaki and Vasudev, separation was only 12 years. For the Brajavasis, separation was over 110 years. 100 years of waiting. 100 years of being there without Krishna. One of our devotees, when he was a little child, he was traveling on a train, you know. And as he was traveling on a train, in those days they had this quality ice creams. And his father brought for him a cup of quality ice cream, vanilla flavor. And this child, he got so absorbed in eating. Most of us do, not that child alone. He was so absorbed in eating and relishing that ice cream so much. So much. A guy sitting close by, he told his father, he said, if the owner of quality was sitting here, na, he would have given him a cup free. Second cup free of charge. Because he's relishing it so much. One can imagine the Vrindavan Vasis. Relishing Krishna's association so much, they deserve more. They are relishing Krishna so much, they deserve more, like this child who was relishing this ice cream so much that the father said, the guy said, if the owner would have seen, he would have given him a second cup. He's relishing it so much. And every cook knows this, that if you make some item and serve it out, if the person is relishing it so much, you want to serve more. And rather than giving more, Krishna just left. This is the beginning of the advent of Lord Krishna.
This is the beginning of Lord Chaitanya's Siddhanta being established here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, right at the very outset of the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna. You know? And therefore, the Brajavasi is missing Krishna. Missing Krishna. Krishna will come. One day he will come. Every single day, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai are coming out of their homes, looking at the horizon. Krishna has said he'll come. He will come. He will come. Waiting there. When will Krishna come? When will Krishna come? When will Krishna come? A year's gone. 2 years are gone. 10 years are gone. 100 years are gone. And these Brajavasis still don't go to Dwarka to see him. There are 5 reasons. The separation of the Brajavasis, all of them never left Vrindavan. For 5 reasons, the residents of Vrindavan did not leave Vrindavan and kept living in that separation. The first reason is they were pampered. Absolutely pampered. You know, someone who has been pampered in food cooked in ghee, he will not settle down for food cooked in oil. Bole tel mein tala hai, tu kha. You know, too much. Too much. Someone who has eaten food cooked in pure ghee, one of our brahmacharis, his mother used to cook so nicely. When he goes for lunch, first he says, "What is in the menu?" Only after he sees what is in the menu, if it's okay, he goes. Otherwise, he says, "Substandard. I don't want to go to eat." You know? Someone is pampered so much, he can never settle for anything less. The residents of Vrindavan were pampered. Pampered by the loving reciprocations of Krishna in the most sweet, intimate dealings where Krishna has a peacock feather and minerals decorating his face. And sweet exchanges of love. They say, go to Mathura, there he kills Kamsa. Killing, willing, all this stuff, we don't know. Dwarka, he wears a big helmet on his head. And he dresses in all these regal ornaments. We don't want to go. We have tasted food cooked in ghee, Madhurya. We won't settle for food cooked in oil, Aishwarya. For Brajavasis, Aishwarya is batata vada fried in oil. You know? For them, they want food cooked in ghee. Krishna has fed them with their effect, with his affection. Now they wouldn't settle for anything less. The second reason why they would not leave Vrindavan is because Krishna had promised, I shall come. I shall come back. And that promise is the hope for a devotee. Krishna promises, I'll protect my devotee. That promise is the hope for a devotee, and the devotee keeps chanting, keeps going on, keeps performing his devotional service day after day after day with ashanubandha. Asha, hope. Rupa Goswami explains with that hope in his mind, Krishna will come. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. One day as I chant Hare Krishna, in the holy name, Krishna will manifest. One day, I will see Krishna face to face. And that promise of Lord Krishna keeps a devotee going day after day after day, no matter how many struggles come in life. It's quite amazing how devotees struggle so much. The basis for struggle for a devotee is that asha, that hope that Krishna has promised. And he shall reciprocate. The third reason why the Brajavasis didn't leave Vrindavan was because they had memories of Krishna. They had all those memories of reciprocation of Krishna in Vrindavan, and based on those memories, they were surviving. Srila Devamrita Swami Maharaj calls them the bhakti memories. You know, when devotees go through rough phases in devotional service, all of us go through different phases. What keeps a devotee going is the memories, the wonderful memories. The memories of yatras, the memories of festivals, the memories of good kirtans, the memories of loving dealings with devotees, the memories of the mercy from the spiritual master that keeps the devotee going. The memories of all these dealings with Krishna, the bhakti memories, kept the Brajavasis stuck in the holy land of Vrindavan.
The fourth reason why they never left is because Uddhava, Lord Balaram, Narad Muni, time to time they came to visit Vrindavan to give hope to the residents of Vrindavan. You know, in a hopeless situation, when there's someone who comes and puts his hand on the back and says, "Don't worry, things will all be fine. Krishna is merciful. He's not blind. He sees. He can see our struggles. Don't worry." That one pat of a devotee, chalega, bane rahenge hum. You know, one devotee in Vrindavan was going to the Bakke Bihari temple and he was blind. And as he was going to the Bakke Bihari temple, one of the local persons said to this Babaji, this sadhu, he shouted in Hindi, "Andhe, kidhar ja raha hai?" Too much, isn't it? He's going to take darshan of Bakke Bihari, devotee, and is blind. He says, "Andhe, kidhar ja raha hai?" So this Babaji said, "Bakke Bihari ji ka darshan karne ja raha hu." This man said, "Andha hai. Kya Bakke Bihari ka darshan karega?" This devotee replied, "Main andha hoon, Bakke Bihari andhe nahi hai. You know, I am blind. He is not blind. I am not going there to see him. I am going there to show myself to him. You know, God is not blind. Krishna is not blind." And the devotee comes in the life and says, "Krishna is there. Don't worry. Narad Muni, Uddhav, Balramji are coming to Vrindavan saying, 'Don't worry. Krishna is coming.'" And that pat of a devotee is the hope for a devotee in his life, for a struggling sadhaka. And the fifth, last reason why the Brajbasis never left. They wanted to in fact quit their bodies, give up their very lives. But the residents of Vrindavan did not give up their lives because they thought, if we quit our bodies and we give up our lives, Krishna will be tremendously in pain. Our pain does not matter, but we do not want to give any pain to Krishna. For us, there is only one thing that matters, and it is pleasure to Krishna. And if we are in separation and we are going through pain, doesn't matter. So the five reasons why the Brajavasis did not leave Vrindavan to go to Dwarka or Mathura to see Krishna as these. Firstly, they knew, they were pampered. We don't want to settle for anything less in Dwarka. We don't want Aishwarya. We want the loving dealings of Madhurya. Secondly, Krishna's promise gave them tremendous hope, Ashanubandha. Thirdly, the memories of Krishna, bhakti memories, made them struggle. Fourthly, the hope given by devotees. Don't worry, Krishna's coming, Narad, Uddhav, Balram. And the fifth, the consideration that we have to simply give Krishna pleasure. We won't quit our bodies. We will stay here till Krishna comes back. This particular chapter is setting this mood. Vasudeva and Devaki have given birth to Krishna and Krishna is gone. And Krishna is gone. As he comes there as a child, Vasudeva is confused. What to do next? Here he was with a four-arm form. What to do next? And most all of us get confused in making decisions in life. Decision making is very difficult. When there is a right and a wrong, it is easy to make a decision. When there is a right and a right, which one to choose? And I think in devotees' life, this happens the most. That Prabhu is also right. This Prabhu is also right. Which one to choose? If someone says, "Drink alcohol," and the devotee says, "Don't drink alcohol," it's pretty clear, don't drink alcohol. But if this devotee says, "Do this seva," and the other devotee says, "Do this seva," the Prabhu in the middle is saying, "Which seva should I do?" Decision making is a very crucial element of a sadhaka's life. Confusion sets in. Confusion sets in, and after 20, 30 years of practice of sadhana bhakti, when purification does not happen, devotee starts feeling, "Main sahi kar raha hun kya? Am I doing right? Maybe chanting does not work. Maybe I should start reading Bhagavatam more." Both are right. Bhagavatam purifies and chanting purifies and distributing books purifies and reading books purifies and worship of the deity purifies and taking prasad purifies. And sometimes devotees can get confused.
what to prioritize. If I prioritize japa, I can't read. If I prioritize reading, my japa is not so good. If both are prioritized, I don't go out distributing books. If I go there, I can't sit and listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. What should I do? In devotional service or in any aspect of life, confusion can come in one's head. And one may not be able to appreciate and understand. What should I do? Vasudev, standing here in the prison cell of Kamsa, standing in front of Krishna, does not know what to do next. What should Vasudev do? Bhagavat prachoditaha. He is instructed by Krishna and inspired by Krishna from within. What to do next? Take me to Gokul. Don't use your tiny puny brain to try and figure out what to do. Maybe I should hide Krishna under a cloth. What if he cries? Kamsa will anyways comes to know. Maybe I should just, you know, maybe I should just go out and throw Krishna out. How will you go? You're shackled. The prison house is closed. How will one move out? What should be done? Bhagavat prachoditaha. Krishna instructs Vasudev, inspires Vasudev. Take me out of here and take me to Gokul. And here is Vasudev ready. Ready to move Krishna out of the confines of the prison of Kamsa to Gokul. And therefore, when confusion comes in, Bhagavat prachoditaha. Our intelligence we should analyze, understand, but there is something called as the power of prayer. When people are confused and we don't know what to do, there's something called as the shelter of prayers. Therefore they say, there's a saying in English, life is fragile, handle with prayer. You know they say fragile, handle with care. But they say life is fragile, handle with prayer. Or they say the shortest distance between a problem and a solution is the distance between the knees and the ground. Fall on the knees and pray. Shortest solution, distance between a problem and a solution is the distance between the knees and the ground. Or like they say, prayer should not be like a spare wheel of the car. It should be like the steering wheel. Otherwise, most times prayer is like the spare wheel. Tire puncture, nikalo prayer. Life puncture, Hare Krishna. Krishna, please help me. So prayer should not be like a spare wheel which comes out only when the tire is punctured. Prayer should be like the steering wheel which one cannot leave at any point of time while driving the car. And therefore, devotee leads his life as a prayer. It's not a question of coming one time in front of the deities and offering prayer. Devotee's life is a prayer. Bhagavat prachoditaha. That inspiration to make the right decision in life is very, very important. And apart from all the analysis and all the guidance and everything else, there's something called as prayer. And if you see senior Vaishnavas, they don't just rely on simply what they know in their experience and in their minds. They rely on the power of prayer to take shelter. They chant intense rounds. Krishna, please guide me. What should I do next? Next month is the month of book distribution, the December book marathon. And when devotees go out on the street, all book distributors tell these stories of how they go and move out on the streets. They have no choice but to take shelter of the power of prayer. There was one bhaktin called Bhaktin Julie. And Bhaktin Julie, she used to distribute books like anything, going out there and just distributing books. And there used to be these devotees in the temple. And one of the Prabhus in the temple, he felt, this is America, he said, Bhaktin Julie is giving out so many books. My God. He said, which street is she going to? So he would sneak out and just look at which street is she going to. And then he realized, my God, Bhaktin Julie is at this street and she's distributing so many books. So after Bhaktin Julie came back to the temple, this Prabhu went and told Bhaktin Julie, Mataji, you know what? I saw a better street yesterday. You can go to that street, he'll sell even meta books. Why? Because he wanted the street. He had seen Bhaktin Julie distribute so many books there. So he went there the next day and he distributed a lot of books and he thought, next morning, my name will be announced as the topmost scorer.
And as he was thinking like this, the next morning, so this and this Prabhu distributor, and we have the top book distributor for this morning, Bhakti and Julie. And he said, my God, another street also she went, she did the same thing. So then he went and saw, which book does she distribute? You know, maybe that book goes well. So he saw he is distributing Ishopanishad. So he tried Ishopanishad and he sold a lot of books. And next morning he thought he would be the one. And still Bhaktinjuli was on the top. Finally this Prabhu came and said, Mataji, you're always on the top. What is it? Do you give them something to eat? Do you give them book free? What do you do? How do you really inspire them? She said, I simply take shelter of the power of prayer. I pray to Srila Prabhupada, I pray to Krishna to give me just the right words so that that can reach out to the heart of that person and he can buy that book, you know, and read this book and get Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Bhagavat prachoditaha. Inspiration coming from Krishna, from within. The classic example of decision making is Ashwatthama has to be killed. On one hand is Draupadi, on the other hand is Arjun. One hand Draupadi, Yudhishthira and others, one other hand Bhima, and in the middle is Krishna and Arjun. The five sons of Draupadi have been killed by Ashwatthama, and Draupadi says to Arjun, forgive Ashwatthama, doesn't matter, after all he is the son of our guru only, he is the son of Drona, don't worry, let him go. And Bhima says, let him go, kill him. Two contradictory instructions, both of which were right. Killing was right because he was an aggressor, and forgiving was right because he was a son of a guru. What should Arjun do? Arjun standing there in the middle, knowing not what to do. Draupadi is saying, don't kill. Bhima is saying, kill. Both are right. And at that time, the two armed form Krishna manifested two extra arms. With two, he held Bhima. With the other two, he held Draupadi and said, Arjun, go ahead. Go ahead, do what? That's okay. Two hands is holding Bhima and two hands is holding Draupadi. Say, do what? And on top of that, he's smiling. That person up there, he loves that. Someone's down there in trouble and that man up there, Krishna, is having a beautiful sweet smile on his face, is smiling, you know. And you know what Krishna told him? He said, you don't kill him? Arjun said, good. And straight after he said, you kill him. How does one deal with this? There is something called as Bhagavat Prachoditaha. Krishna inspiring from within, what to do next. And therefore, Krishna inspired Arjuna from within. The Bhagavatam explains, Hardam, he understood the heart of Lord Krishna. And what did Arjuna do? He took out that gem from Ashwatthama's head, which was doing Draupadi. Physically, he wasn't killed, but taking that gem was as good as being killed. And therefore, here we find Vasudev, not knowing what to do, confused. Krishna guides him, inspires him. Take me to Gokul. And therefore, experience in life is comprised of three E's. First, examination. Second, errors. And third, enlightenment. All three put together is called experience, anubhav. When we examine people, we get a part of our experience from there. We see what a devotee has done right and what a devotee has done wrong. And we learn by examining. Oh, this devotee chants nicely. See how inspired he is. I must learn to chant nicely. Oh, that devotee doesn't chant his rounds properly. Look how he is in trouble. I should not follow his example. Examination. Second, errors. Not just by seeing others. A part of our experience comes by seeing others. A part of our experience comes from errors. We make mistakes and from our mistakes we learn. One devotee, Brahmachari, he was in a yatra and sitting in a bus, next to him was sitting a devotee and he was chanting his rounds with his left hand. You can imagine his finger out and he was chanting his round with his left hand. So this brahmachari was sitting next, and as he was, this devotee was chanting, he was, after a while, he kind of think, bolu, nahi bolu, should I tell, should I not tell? Sometimes when you see someone do something, you feel, should I say, should I not say, should I say, should I not say? After it all, at the end he felt, nahi, I must say. He's making a mistake, big blunder. He said to him, Prabhuji, don't you understand this simple thing that we should be chanting our rounds with our right hand? Are you a lefty or a righty? If you are a righty, I can understand. And even a righty devotee, those who are righties learn slowly how to learn. Those who are lefties, righties, they learn. He said, you should know that you should chant with your right hands. He said, okay, Prabhuji, I'll try my level best. Huh? Sorry, I was chanting with my left hand. And after a while, you know how buses are. You go to sleep during the yatra. Anyways, early morning, you get up late night. Both of them went to sleep. And as this devotee who was chanting with the left hand, while in his sleep, his head fell on the brahmachari's shoulders, and the brahmachari got up. And as he got up, he saw that the shawl that this man, devotee, was covered with fell off, and he saw that this devotee did not have his right hand. He was crippled. He didn't have his right hand. Because he didn't have his right hand, he was chanting with his left hand. This brahmachari was telling me the story. And as he was telling me the story, he was crying tears. He said, I made a mistake. I came to conclusions too quickly. I judged too fast. Without understanding what the background is, without understanding what the reality behind it all is, I just judged too fast. And he said, I learned my lesson. Now, whenever I see someone do something, before I know why he is doing what he or she is doing, I do not come to a conclusion. I don't deal with it immediately. I wait till I know what's happening. And therefore, a part of our experience comes by seeing others and learning from them. Examination. A part of our experience comes by the errors that we make. We make mistakes and we learn from them. That's a part of our experience. And the third E, which is most important, is enlightenment. Guidance. Bhagavat prachoditaha. Simply by examining and simply by the errors we make, we will not be able to always make the pakka decisions in our life. We need Krishna to inspire us, and Krishna's representative, Shri Guru, to tell us what to do. If we just were to make decisions on our own in our Krishna consciousness, why is there a need of Guru? That man Arjun on the battlefield is fully confused. Fully confused. He's tried his level best on his own. Compassion, I'll not fight. They'll be killed. This, that. And on the battlefield, verse number 6 of chapter 2, his head is reeling and is confused. What should I do? Shishyasteham shadi maam tvam prapannam. You tell me. Nishchitam bruhitan. You tell me what should I do. Bhagavat prachoditaha. And therefore, when one is inspired by Krishna and one is given guidance and counseling by Guru, then one is an experienced person. Combined with his examination, combined with the errors, learning from the mistakes, and most important of all, enlightenment coming from Krishna within the heart and coming from Guru, the representative of Krishna. That is called anubhava. That is called experience. You know, I was just traveling in Bombay and I saw they have a institute now called IHT. They used to have IIT. There's all these institutes. IHT is Institute for Human Technology. It's new in Bombay. It's there. And it was written Institute for Human Technology, heart-to-heart counseling, guidance and enlightenment. That is how you will gain experience. Vasudev is ready to move on, carrying Krishna from Mathura, the confines of Kamsa's prison, to Gokul, to Nanda and Yashoda. Vasudev's name here is explained as Shauri. In Sanskrit, all the names have a lot of meaning. The son of Vyas is Vyasaki. The son of Drona is Drauni. The daughter of Drupad is Draupadi. And the name Shauri means one who is very shura, very courageous, very fearless. Why is he fearless? Why is he called Shauri here? He is called Shauri because he is embarking on something very difficult. Moving out of Kamsa's prison, taking the risk to go out. Kamsa, if he comes to know, what is he going to do? Plus, the scriptures, Harivamsha explains, there were wild elephants, ferocious tigers and lions outside Kamsa's prison house. Just outside Kamsa's prison house. Guarding Kamsa's prison house was wild elephants. One wild elephant comes and picks them on the tusk. Finished. It was dark. Shura, courageous, fearless. He had that fearlessness to move out to Gokul. Therefore, his name was Shauri. Shura, courageous and fearlessness. Why was he fearless? Because he had faith. Krishna has said this, it will happen. Krishna has told me to take, pakka hoga. I don't need to think whether it will happen or not. If Krishna has said, I must just move on and go. Therefore, there is a quote in English. It says, feed your faith and your fears will starve to death. If someone is fed, now the hunger is gone. Feed your faith and the fear will starve to death. If there is any fear in the heart, that is because of lack of faith. Shabari, she was living for such a long time, waiting for Lord Ramchandra to come. Why? She had faith. Faith in the words of her guru Matanga Rishi that Lord Ram will come one day. I'll wait for him. She was patient because she had faith in the words of her guru Matanga Rishi. Srila Prabhupada had faith. All his godbrothers were saying this instruction of Lord Chaitanya that Krishna consciousness will spread in every town and village is only allegorical. Prabhupada said, no, you don't have this much faith that whatever Lord Chaitanya said will happen. With that faith, Srila Prabhupada went to the West. And Prabhupada's followers, they had faith. They were fearless. What kind of things they did? Such risks they took. Brahmanand Prabhu went to Pakistan. Of all places, I told that story last time of how this man at Cross Maidan challenged him and Brahmanand Prabhu was sent to Pakistan to preach. What a massive risk. And when he came back, Prabhupada gave his affection to Brahmanand Prabhu, patted him, cried tears over him. And after all that affection, said, so what happened? He said, Prabhupada, we distributed many books in Pakistan. Prabhupada said, so did you charge them or gave them free of charge? You know, he came after a big risk he had taken, so much endeavor. And Prabhupada said, did you charge them or you just gave them free of charge? They took so much risk because they had faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada. Not only did they take risk, some of them were imprisoned. Bhavanand Prabhu was put behind bars. He was put behind bars. And he said, no problem. Prabhupada's mission, I'll be there. And when he came out, Srila Prabhupada said, oh, no problem. Vasudev and Devaki were also behind bars. You know, they were also behind bars for Krishna's sake. And then he said, oh, why they put you behind bars because you were misunderstood. But Srimati Radharani was also misunderstood by the Brajavasis. So don't worry. You are in parampara. You know. She was also misunderstood. And he said, the difference between Srimati Radharani and you is, she was misunderstood, you were misunderstood, but she was not in the newspapers. You are in the newspapers. And now you have become famous. So now you carry forward the mission and preach Krishna consciousness. They took risks. Some were imprisoned. They had to break the hearts of their parents. Many of them broke the hearts of their parents to serve Srila Prabhupada. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj tells the story of how when he went back, his fathers were such successful lawyers, Tetan family. And the parents had hired a brain washer, you know, to wash his brain of all the Krishna consciousness that has gone in. And then he came there and, you know, they brought a flower. Say, what is this? He said, Krishna is the source of all flowers. So they thought something's wrong with him. He said, your mother, here's your mother, here's your father. And Giriraj Swami started quoting, Pita aham asya jagato, mata dhata pitamaha. Krishna is the father, Krishna is the mother. So the brainwasher went to the parents and said, he's permanently infected. We cannot do anything with this now. You know. And then he came back and told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this is what happened. And Prabhupada used to quote this very often. He said, so they were saying, our Giriraj is permanently infected. And then Prabhupada would say, with Krishna. He would add that. And what to talk about, going against all the social trends.
All of these young boys and girls in the earlier days came and they went against all the social trends in society at that time. Firstly, they were wearing bed sheets. Dhotis, they had never seen. And they were not even wearing a full bed sheet. One piece was hanging in the front and one in the back. You know, it wasn't even fully wrapped. Something hanging in the front, something hanging in the back. They were shaven. Those days it wasn't a fashion. These days it is. It wasn't a fashion to be shaven. And they weren't even fully shaven. Something was hanging behind as a ponytail. And they were putting their hand in a bag, like a fracture in the hand, cast in the hand, hanging the bag, hand in the big bag. And they had not even full hand. One finger was sticking out and most people would be saying, what is this? You know, absolutely against the social trends. They took risks. They went to prison. They broke the hearts of their parents many times. They were misunderstood badly. You know, they went against all the social trends for that matter. They had firm faith that if they assist Srila Prabhupada, a lot can happen. And therefore Vasudev, with this faith, you know, he carried Krishna fearlessly. Therefore, he's called Shauri. His shurata, his courage, his fearlessness comes from the fact that Krishna can do anything. There are three words: faith, trust, and hope. You know what is faith? There was in a village, there was no rains at all. So everyone decided to come together for a prayer meeting that evening. No one brought an umbrella except one child. He had faith in the power of Krishna, the ability of Krishna. Krishna can do anything. Krishna can do anything. Kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum, iti Krishna. Kartum, he can do anything. Akartum, he can undo anything. And anyatha kartum, he can do something else, a third thing, in order to protect and save his devotee. To hear this story is a breath of fresh air and hope that Krishna can do, can undo, and can do anything. This child brought an umbrella because he knew we are having a prayer session. Krishna has the ability, he had that faith to give us rain in Krishna's powers. Trust. What is trust? Trust means when a father throws a child in the air, the emotion that the child has, he's smiling, laughing. Why? Because there is trust. Intentions. Faith is about power. God has the power to do anything. Trust is about intentions. Krishna has the intention to help me. Why is a child smiling? So blissfully smiling. If another guy takes the same child and throws, the baby will start crying because he doesn't know the guy, doesn't have that trust. But when the father throws the child in the air, he knows he will pick me up. And therefore, a devotee has faith that Krishna has the power to do, to undo, or do anything. And a devotee has trust that the Lord has the intention to help me, to save me, to protect me. And what is hope? Faith, trust, and hope. Hope is, everybody knows, I may not get up tomorrow morning, but still everyone plans. How much hope is it not? Everybody knows that tomorrow morning I may not see the light of the day. But kal kidhar jayenge, kya khayenge, what will be for breakfast, which dress will I wear? All the planning is there, and that is called hope. A devotee is extremely hopeful for tomorrow because he knows Krishna will be there. Ashanubandha. Thus Vasudev, Shauri, picks Krishna up. And now he's about to move out of the prison cell of Kamsa. As he's about to move out of the prison cell of Kamsa, what happens there is incredibly amazing. The verse is describing today, everyone falls asleep. That happens in Bhagavatam class many times. It seems like Krishna Leela repeated again, you know. Seems like Krishna Leela is back into action, you see. Everybody falls asleep. Everyone, the guards, all of them go to sleep because Yoga Maya, Krishna's energy, Shakti, comes into action. You know, many wealthy people, they have so many servants at home. I visited one wealthy man's house, you know, in Mumbai. And he had so many servants. One servant was to bring him food. One servant was to just fan him. One servant was to... This man, I saw him. He was wearing his shoes. One servant was holding a rasgulla in one hand so that the master would eat on his way to the office. And the other servant was tying his shoelace. So many servants. That's a wealthy man. So many associates. So many servants. Serving at his command. And Krishna, who is the wealthiest of all, will he not have everyone at his command? If a wealthy man of this world has so many servants, what about Krishna? Krishna has so many servants, and therefore Prabhupada quoted that verse, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. So many Shaktis are his servants. His Jnana Shakti, his Kripa Shakti, his Kriya Shakti. So many Shaktis are his servants. All disciples of Yogamaya, his main servant. Yogamaya put everyone to sleep. Suddenly the sky which was clear was cast with dense dark clouds, and it started raining like anything. Hare Krishna has to leave to Gokul. Why such heavy rains? Simple. If it's raining heavily, no one will come out of their house. Yogamaya knew, if it starts raining very heavily, everyone will be indoors and Krishna can be easily transferred. No one's going to know what happened. And when it rains very heavily, the clouds start thundering like anything. But at this time, Upamshu Garjitaha, the clouds were very softly thundering. Why? Because soft sound puts a person further to sleep. You know when you chant softly? Hare Krishna. You know, I don't need to explain any further. That soft sound puts a person further to sleep. And therefore, if there is soft chanting murmur, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 one just further goes to sleep. So Yogamaya had already put the guards to sleep and already put everyone in Vrindavan to sleep. And then she ensured that it rains very heavily, so no one steps out of the house. And then she ensured that the clouds do not rumble loudly. Upamshu, very softly. Upamshu, garjitaha, garjana. Very soft garjana. Go to sleep. You know, soft music, soft sound. Everyone was in perfect sleep, delirium. And as everyone was asleep, Vasudev was about to leave. And this verse explains, the doors opened up. The doors of the prison opened up for Vasudev to carry Krishna to Gokul from Mathura. And the acharyas have said the doors opening has two lessons to it. The first is that this material world is duratyaya. It is like a prison cell. And all the souls are confined in this material world, bound up in this material world. Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Same word here also. Duratyaya. Very difficult to get out of this prison. Tough to come out. But anyone who surrenders to me, Krishna says, mame vaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Easily one can cross this big prison cell of the material world and come back to Krishna. And therefore, Vasudev's going out of the prison and the doors opening gives a clear hint. Anyone who carries Krishna in his life, the doors to liberation will definitely open. Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimuktes tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. When one serves great souls, the doors to liberation open. And as soon as those doors are open, one can move out. Dr. Patel, he used to be with Srila Prabhupada on Juhu Beach. And he used to argue with Srila Prabhupada like anything. And one time he was screaming like anything. Howling and screaming on the top of his voice and saying, Swamiji, you don't understand. Even I am a Vaishnava. I know also. What are you talking about? So howling, screaming. And then when he came back, Prabhupada came back with the devotees. One devotee is always Tamal Krishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, who is Dr. Patel? Is he a Mayavadi? Is he a Vaishnava? A devotee? Non-devotee? Who is he? Srila Prabhupada told a story. Told the story of that man who was a multilinguist, knew so many languages,
And he came to a place and told the king, okay, recognize my language, which language I speak. And the king was kind of, he called all his scholars. They couldn't recognize. The king said, okay, stay in this room. And in the night, one of them went and punched him on the face. When this multilingualist was punched on the face, he gave a gali. And no one gives gali in another language. It comes in the mother tongue. So then the king knew what his language, mother tongue, was easily. Prabhupada said, that is Dr. Patel. He may speak this Vaishnavism, devotee, this, that, but when I give one punch, then Mayavad comes out immediately. You know. Then said, Prabhupada, why do you tolerate him so much? He howls, he screams. He's a good man. We should encourage him. Dr. Patel saw all the devotees at Juhu. You know, they were all kind of struggling. Juhu, Hare Krishna land, was a beaten down place. As they were all struggling there, nothing, sleeping under a shack. Dr. Patel got 12 mattresses, 12 pillows, 12 mosquito nets, and 12 blankets as donation. And they were using that. And after a while, you know how the Brahmachari ashram or the devotees are. After a while, it was all gone. And Dr. Patel saw that not one thing was left. So on one morning walk, he said to Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, what is this? All of your disciples, absolutely irresponsible. They have no concept of how to take care of things. I brought it with my hard-earned money and they have lost it all. Srila Prabhupada, he turned to Dr. Patel. He said, what do you say? The goal of life is, you always keep talking, na? What is the goal of life? He said, Swamiji, the goal of life is moksha, liberation. Oh, yes. He said, if the goal of life is liberation, all my boys and girls are already liberated. They don't need your mosquito net. They don't need your blanket. They don't need your pillow. They don't need your mattress. They are beyond the body because they are carriers of Krishna. Because taha Krishna vahe. Because they are carrying Krishna in their life. They are already liberated. Srila Prabhupada told one day all the devotees, he said, you are all liberated. It'll take time to know. That's all. Everyone's liberated. It'll only take some time to know. Otherwise, getting out of this room, everyone feel, I am liberated soul. Prabhupada has said, that I am a liberated soul. Probably I should start living on the platform of moksha. Of course, Prabhupada did not make this devotees callous. He returned back and then he told the devotees. To Dr. Patel, he said the devotees are liberated. And to the devotees, he said, what is this callousness? Someone is giving so much out of his hard-earned money, should take care of it. So he did that. And therefore, we find here, all of these devotees, all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, by surrendering unto Srila Prabhupada, experienced going beyond bodily conditions, right at the very outset of the Krishna consciousness movement. In the beginning of the Krishna consciousness movement, there was nothing, absolutely nothing. They had one word, Krishna provides. That was the key word in those days. Krishna provides. Krishna will take care of whatever our needs are. All of these young boys and girls, hippies, they had no money. And when they had no money, what would they eat? They would buy watermelon. They would eat the watermelon. And then the rind of the watermelon. They would take the rind of the watermelon and make a sabji out of that. At 26 Second Avenue, the sabji was watermelon rind sabji. Have you ever heard of something like that? That was what they were eating. Living beyond any bodily needs, practically speaking. Because of that strong connection to Krishna, Srila Prabhupada made them transcend these needs at that point of time and offered them liberation, practically speaking, to serve his mission. And then Krishna was providing. One day Srila Prabhupada, he used to type with this one finger like this. Because he wasn't a typist. And as he was typing with this one finger, Gargamuni Prabhu saw, he's typing like this. And he was walking in the streets, he saw a typewriter, a dictaphone first. And when he saw the dictaphone, he thought this would be good for Srila Prabhupada. He brought the dictaphone. And he thought, Prabhupada is a boy from Vrindavan, village person. What does he know? So I should explain to him. And Prabhupada said, you don't need to explain. I already know. Use it down. And Prabhupada turned the dictaphone on and started using it. And Gargamuni Prabhu was surprised. It's a new invention. It just came in the market. How does Swamiji know?
And then the tapes were all there, but none of them knew how to type properly. They didn't know how to type properly because those days typewriters, you also had to use your foot. With the foot, you use that pedal and then type. And because they had taken so much LSD, there was no coordination between the hands and the feet. And then they were thinking, how will it go on? And suddenly one day a boy came. Neil was his name. He came for a 3 months vacation from college. He was doing a project on religious people. So he had heard about the storefront and he came there to do a project. And as Neil came in, he said, what do I have to do to stay here? He said, do you know how to type? I said, yes. So what is your speed? 60 words per minute. And he started typing. And his devotees were explaining how Krishna was providing at that point of time constantly. Krishna provides was the key word there. Impossible tasks became possible by the grace of Krishna. The doors opened. It was impossible for everyone to go to sleep. It was impossible for the doors to crack open. It was impossible for these iron shackles to break open. Vasudev, as he was carrying Krishna, impossible things became possible by the grace of Krishna. And therefore, this afternoon we are having lecture given by Shamanand Prabhu and Naveen Neerad Prabhu and Baldev Prabhu on the power of book distribution. Yesterday, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining that when Prabhupada said to the devotees, I want Chaitanya Charitamrita printed in 2 months, 17 volumes printed in 2 months, the devotees said, impossible, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And he said, you have to do it. When Krishna was there, practically speaking, nothing was impossible. In a time of 2 months, massive marathon, all these 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita were printed. In Europe, one devotee was distributing books. And as he was distributing books, one man, European man, took this book. And he was looking at the front page of the Bhagavad Gita very intently. Then he pulled out his magnifying glass. And this book distributor was thinking, he's very interested. You know, with his magnifying glass, he was looking at this book. Great. First page only. First page of the Gita. And he said, give me the book. He purchased the Bhagavad Gita and gave a big donation. So now the book distributor was very intrigued. He said, what were you watching with your magnifying glass? He said, I have done a PhD in calligraphy, handwriting. Last 20 years, I have analyzed signatures. And simply by analyzing signatures, I can tell what is the personality of a person. So I was, with my magnifying glass, analyzing the signature of Srila Prabhupada. Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And as I saw this signature, he said, this man is very powerful. This man will bring about a revolution in this world, and these books written by this man, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, simply seeing this signature, I can say that this person will bring about a massive revolution in the world through his teachings and his books. And therefore, I want this book. I shall take this book. And he started reading these books. One devotee in Germany, you know, one young German boy, he had an affair with a girl. He loved her very much and he wanted to marry her. And this girl came to the Hare Krishna temple. That is too much. You know, if they are friends before and they want to get married and one of them becomes a devotee for the second, it's a great challenge. So she came back and she started saying, now you should start chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting? What is chanting? And he started talking about the principles, this and that. He said, where have you learnt all of these things from? He said, I've learned this from this one book called the Bhagavad Gita as it is. This man took this book, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and started reading this entire book to find faults with this book so that he can convince her what you are doing is wrong and then we will have lead a happy life otherwise. You know, he read the whole book. And suddenly one day she was sitting in the Bhagavatam class and she found him sitting in the class. She said, what happened? He said, I read the whole book simply to find faults. And I can tell you for sure, this book has changed my life. Both of them are initiated devotees now. They live in Cologne, in Germany. And because he changed because of reading Srila Prabhupada's books, he is now distributing Srila Prabhupada's books on the streets and giving this mercy to everyone in Germany. In Italy, I told this story earlier. There was a boy, young boy, and this young boy, he was on drugs. Bologna is the place. In Bologna, there is a street, drug street. Everyone goes for drugs there. This man was on drugs. And one fine day, this man comes back home and he got a phone call from his girlfriend saying, I break up with you. So he was in great anxiety. Then after just about an hour, he got a phone call from his mother saying, father has got a massive cardiac arrest. Come soon to the hospital. He said, okay. And as he reached, just reaching the hospital close, his mother fell off at the door of the hospital and cut her lip open. He was totally devastated. He went to the drug street in Bologna. And that day, he did not find a single drug. Very unlikely in the drug street in Bologna. And then he came back home. As he came back home, sitting in his room, what to do? What should I do in such a situation for solas? He found in a corner something, a book, the Ishopanishad. He had taken a vow, I'll never read this book. Because book distributors would come to him and push this book in his face and say, take the book, take the book. And he was so irritated, he would never take the book. One day he was so frustrated, he said, de. You know, just give that book. So he took that book and he kept that book with him. And he had taken a vow. This is one book that I will never read in my life. You know. And that particular day, heart attack to the father, mother's lip is broken open. His girlfriend has deserted him. No drugs available. Book lying. He decided, I won't live by my vow now. Picked up this book, Ishopanishad. Read the book cover to cover. Found the address of the center in Bologna. Came to Bologna temple. Met Trai Prabhu and Krishna Loka Mataji there. And now he is a fantastic devotee. And therefore, this person who saw this calligraphic signature of Srila Prabhupada said, these books have tremendous potency. Impossible tasks become possible when one carries Krishna. When one carries these books given by Srila Prabhupada, which is Krishna, non-different from Krishna, impossible tasks can become possible. Just like Vasudev carrying Krishna on his head, moving out towards Gokul, suddenly we find the prisons itself breaks open, the doors are open, the shackles are on God, and as it's raining, Anantashesh comes and puts his hood over baby Krishna to screen him from the rains that are showering on the way from Mathura to Gokul. So in conclusion, we learn from this beautiful section that Krishna at the very outset is teaching this incredible principle of separation, vipralamba, service and separation. Krishna is very practical. He's not just kind of saying, okay, be here, Vasudev and Devaki, no. Okay, fine. Krishna's interest is the most important. Service and separation is highlighted right at the very outset of this particular section. And then we find how Vasudev is Bhagavat Prachoditaha, inspired by Krishna, and therefore experiences about examination, errors, and enlightenment. Then we also find Vasudev is called Shauri, very Shura, fearless, courageous. He is called Shauri because he has faith in the power of Krishna. We heard about faith, trust, and hope. And then we find how when Yogamaya comes and sets the whole scene, Vasudev is now carrying Krishna out of Mathura to Gokul. We learn that as soon as one is a carrier of Krishna, two things happen. The first is the doors to liberation from this material world open. And the second, impossible things to mundane intelligence can become possible by the grace of Krishna as one becomes a carrier of Krishna. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.